You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Got questions about your hound's health? Need the facts on Fido's fitness or food? You want to unleash your pup's potential? Well, you've come to the right place, because it's time to win with dogs. Here, we learn how easy it is to naturally improve the lives of our furry friends. So sit, stay, and get ready to win with dogs. With me, Raquel Wynn.
Welcome to Win with Dogs. I'm your host, Raquel. Are you breathing? You must be, or you wouldn't be alive, right? Well, that's true, but really, how much attention do you actually pay to your breath? Probably not that much. Well, today, we are going to talk about the breath and the importance of proper breathing and breathing with intention. And I'm going to be joined today by Jonathan Rudinger, a foremost authority in the world of animal massage. Jonathan has written numerous books on pet massage and has been featured in various animal magazines. He's also the president and founder of the International Association of Animal Massage and Bodywork Practitioners. You try to say that in one breath. Jonathan can talk shop on numerous topics, so I was delighted when he suggested we talk about the breath. This is one of my favorite topics. And I met Jonathan at the conference that I spoke at in Toledo, the annual conference of the IAAMB, and he's a delight and full of wisdom and interesting perspective. So right after this short break, we're going to talk about the breath. So hang tight, but don't quit breathing. Be back in a second.
Hey, don't you go anywhere. We'll be right back to Win with Dogs right after this quick water break.
Hey, ready to take a walk? Not just you, but the whole family. It's the 2009 Whisker Walk, Sunday, June 7th from 11 to 3 at the Lancaster Fairground in Lancaster, Massachusetts. Pet owners and animal lovers walk to lend a paw to benefit the animal shelters and pet charities they love. Come see exhibits, demonstrations, educational programs, special attractions, product giveaways, entertainment, auctions, raffles, food, fun, and things for adults and kids to see, do, and buy, both human and pet-related. Whisker Walk 2009, a fun day for everyone. For more information, log on to whiskerwalk.org.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's All Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, this is the place for a special paparazzi treat. Only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Thanks for hanging around. We're back to Win with Dogs with me, Raquel Wynn, on Pet Life Radio.
Welcome back. Thanks for hanging out with us. Like I said, we're hosted by a famous massage, animal massage man, Jonathan Rudinger. He has a website called petmassage.com where they offer tons of classes and instruction on how to become an animal massage therapist or even do work with your own animals at home. So, Jonathan, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to speak with me today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You can repeat that introduction. I loved it, you know.
I know. Don't stop. Believe me, I could go on and on, but hey, I ran out of breath. I need some practice with proper breathing. So when I talked to you earlier, you suggested we get away from deciphering your fingertips and the effects that your perspiration has on your dogs, which I think is a fabulous topic. And we talk about the breath. And I think that's a great idea. One thing, let's just start out this conversation. Remember that we are primarily humans, are aquatic creatures in the fetus, and we come out into the world connected to the umbilical cord, and we have what's called the first breath. And the first breath of our life actually triggers a whole host of physiological changes in our body. And it also helps our circulatory system learn to take oxygen from the blood instead of the placenta. So breathing is extremely, extremely important. It's like you could talk for days on it. But I want to talk with Jonathan about how a practitioner's breathing affects the animal that you're working on. Let's just start there. Jonathan, what do you think? Should we start there?
Sure we can. Sure we can. Wow, where do we start? This is the
what about
this is a totally unscripted show. I want you to know that. First thing I want to say is that if you hold your breath, which means that you stop your breathing process, all the muscles in your body start to atrophy or they tighten up. So if you hold your breath, if you were just going to, what can you say? When you hold your breath, the animal feels the tightness in your hands. Your hands are tight, you can't feel the animal, and the animal kind of experiences that lack of connection, and they'll start to pull away from you. So any kind of massage that you're going to be having, any kind of kind of creative juices flowing, any kind of releases that you're hoping to happen, isn't going to happen if you're holding your breath or if you're kind of restricting your breathing.
Yeah, so, okay. Yeah, that's really interesting. So you touched on a couple things there that I find really fascinating. Number one, the fact that when we stop breathing, the muscles atrophy. And you're right, just for a split second, our muscles are deprived of that oxygen. And on a microscopic, energetic level, there is a constriction that starts to happen, almost like a binding that starts to happen in the body. And yes, animals who are completely nonverbal and totally in tune with energy will definitely feel this. And the second thing that you touched on that I really find super fascinating is the fact that if I want to initiate a change, well, actually, I don't do any initiating. I stand there and hold space. But if I'm interested in an animal releasing energy, if I'm holding my breath or not paying attention to breathing fluidly, belly breathing, diaphragm breathing, you're saying that the animal actually, their own response to the massage is also restricted. In other words, they're not getting the release they need because we're almost preventing it.
Exactly right. Exactly right. When you're working with the dog, and I'm going to suppose that all the people who are listening to this broadcast massage their dogs or pet their dogs. If you're holding on to your dog and you're reaching over you hold the dog underneath the neck and you reach over to touch the tip of the tail and you stretch. By stretching your pectoral muscles out, opening your chest, you're actually tightening these muscles in your shoulders and your arms, and that's going to restrict the flow of oxygen, blood, all the hormones, out to your hands, and the dogs are going to feel that. So I just caution my students about stretching too much and just kind of making sure that their breath comes naturally from their core.
Yeah, so, okay, that's super important. So, actually, less effort, and we're talking about proper ergonomics and making sure as a practitioner or as a person, whether you're a professional or not, and you're massaging your dog, and you really want to have the best experience, you're saying make sure that in your own body there's not a lot of tension, you're not overstretched, you're not standing in a weird position that makes your muscles have to flex and be uncomfortable, because that in turn restricts the breath,
exactly,
which
right.
restricts the feeling of the dog. The breath is really fascinating, Jonathan. You've obviously heard of it called like the prana, or you know, it moves chi in the body. Breath is life. You hear this all the time. And you just also said something that I really want to expand on, and that is you encourage your students who want to get the best, you know, experience of a massage practice with their animal is to breathe in the core. And a lot of people kind of have trouble understanding what that is. When you hear belly breathing or diaphragm breathing, the importance of breathing in the core is really utilizing the primary musculature of breathing, which is your diaphragm. So everyone listening, Jonathan, you too, Mark, you too, I want you to sit up tall, put your hand on your sternum, which is right at the base of the ribs, and I want you to take a couple breaths, and I want us all to observe, is our chest rising when we breathe, or is our diaphragm moving when we breathe? Let's just take a couple breaths and see. Just nice inhale and exhale. And the first breath I did, I know. the first breath I did was in the chest. Was yours, or are you in the belly already?
Yes, it was. And then I had to kind of like, you know, observe my little finger move up and down with when my diaphragm started moving. So, yeah.
Your first was in the chest.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, okay, naturally we breathe improperly. So you're talking about massaging and not flexing the muscles. Well, let's just take it a step further to make it sound even more difficult. Just kidding. When you're sitting there calm, completely calm, thinking you're totally relaxed in the best possible position, if our breath isn't right, in fact, we are constricted from the core out.
That's right.
What are some of the things we need to even look for proper breathing? Can we tell in the animal if we're breathing right? I mean,
the animal is going to reflect your intention and the quality of your breath. So if your animal is relaxed, then that would give you an indication that you're breathing okay. One exercise that you can do with your dog is to sit quietly with your dog and hold your breath. Observe your own body as it starts to tighten up, you know, right before you turn blue and pass out. You would look at the dog, and you would see that the dog would start to he's starting to squint his eyes, starting to back away from you a little bit, starting to constrict his body, because he's going to want to entrain with you. So if you're getting tight, he's going to be tight. One of the things
match what we do.
Exactly right. One of the things that dogs recognize in tightness is like when a dog is getting ready to go into battle, has to defend himself or to fight, they will tense up their muscles in order to kind of like, you know, get ready to spring forward into action or to spring away in running. So when they detect tightness, they're not sure what that means. It could be you're angry. It could mean you're stressed. It could mean a number of things. It could mean that you're having some sort of physical difficulty that they don't know what to do about. So it causes some confusion. And what they're going to want to do is they're going to want to retreat from that stress, from the stressor, which is you. So getting back to the topic that we're talking about is that you want to make sure that when you're sitting with your dog, that when you're petting your dog, when you're massaging your dog, when you're doing everything with your dog, that you continue to breathe, and the dog will pick up on your relaxation and be able to relax with you.
That's great. I'll definitely, next time I'm working, I'm going to check this out, because a lot of times I am really focusing, honestly, more on watching the dog. And not I get away from what you're saying, that I get away from the fact that they're just mirroring me. So I can eliminate the middleman and kind of pay attention to what I'm doing, too.
At the conference, I remember, you gave a wonderful presentation on stretching your dog. And you actually, you know, got down on the floor and you were like working in the dog. And you were, you were like, you know, little beads of sweat were popping out of your forehead. The dog was starting, you know, dogs don't perspire too, but the dog was actually picking up on the amount of effort that you were putting into the stretching routines you were putting in, that he was going through. So it was interesting. The two of you become a unit. The massage is actually a kind of a relationship. It has a beginning, a middle, an end, and a kind of, and then a residual memory of that. Every aspect of a relationship is encapsulated in the massage form. And so there are different types of massage. There's a relaxation massage. There's also the one that where you're going to be doing more of a mechanical massage or a sports massage to warm up a body. There's a dog that I'm going to be working on this weekend that has Wobbler's disease, end stage, and we don't know how long it's going to last, so we're going to be doing something called a transition massage to help the dog and the owner into a sense of understanding and acceptance of the dog moving on to a different plane.
Yeah.
So massage has a lot of different aspects.
And so does breathing play into the different types of massage? I know that you are you're making me laugh because you talk about the enormous effort that I expend. And funny enough, you should mention that, because that is one of my topics, is less effort, less effort. You're just standing there holding space. And I notice that the dogs start to I'm very effective at dispelling energy. I get superb results with dogs that are anxious and, you know, need to calm down. And it's weird. It's not like through a relaxation, but it's almost like I'm helping them get it out of their body, and they start to pant, and where I'm sweating, they're panting. You know, it's this whole thing.
It was great because you're so much of a personal trainer, and I'm so much more of a kind of like a quiet, you know, this energy worker, kind of like, let's be real subtle and get this thing done real quietly.
Absolutely, and it all works.
Like, yeah, you're getting the dog to jog and jump up and down and wear a little headband.
do what I say. No, put the whip back, Raquel.
But it's really what's refreshing is that we have, there's a whole wide spectrum of things that people can do, because massage is basically, it's a relationship, and every relationship is an extension of your personality, and your personality is different from mine, mine's from everybody else. You know, there are 7 million people in this, 7 billion people, is it? 6 billion people on this planet, and each one of us has a separate personality. No one's the same. So seven billion different types of massages.
And thank you for saying that, because you're so right. I mean, they're all valid. And if it resonates with you, you're more likely to continue it. So don't think that you have to fit yourself in a little box and, you know, turn into Zen person if you're totally angst-ridden or vice versa. I mean, just center yourself, get your proper intention, and when you're touching your animal, it will be reflected that you are in the right space by how that animal is responding. And you, Jonathan, let's talk about...
Also how you're responding. Do you feel good on the inside when you're... Does it make you happy? Are you kind of tapping into that sense of bliss that is your real purpose? Because when you're feeling happy, when you're in the zone, then that's really what you're supposed to be doing. And that's the style of massage that you need to maintain.
That's so true. It's less kind of, you know, I have to remind myself to not be so goal result oriented and just let the body heal. Like I said, we're just standing there holding space for whatever this body is doing. We are not initiating the change. We're just kind of cueing the body, I like to say, just kind of standing there as it does its thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So what I want to talk more about breathing.
Okay.
As you were saying with the different types of massage, but let's take a quick break for the sponsors to get a few words in edgewise. And when we come back, if you could, maybe let's expand on the different types of massage and maybe the different types of breath that elicit different responses and such.
It
sounds like a plan?
Let's do it.
Okay, okay. We'll be right back in 1 second. Everyone, big breath in, and we're breaking for commercial. Be back in a second. Hey, don't you go anywhere. We'll be right back to Win with Dogs right after this quick water break.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet Magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet Magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at petplanetmagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pet Life Radio proudly presents DSPN, the Dog Sports and Performance Network. Get ready to unleash the dog sports enthusiast in all of us. From speed drawing and mushing to racing, agility, and competition, this is the place to learn all about the dog sports and activities that you can do with your furry best friend and canine competitor. So get ready for game time. DSPN with your host, Lori Williams. Every week, on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Thanks for hanging around. We're back to Win with Dogs with me, Raquel Wynn, on Pet Life Radio.
Great. We're back. Everyone's still here. We're breathing. Jonathan and I are having a blast. Thanks for hanging with us. And we were going to talk more about the breath and different types of massage. Jonathan was saying there's different types of massage, you know, stimulation, you know, energy release, grounding, calming, transitional massage when our animals are passing into the afterlife, and how it's mainly to help us cope, I think. Mm-hmm. But what different types of, what power do we have to affect change with our breath? Are there different breathing patterns we can use? Or,
yeah, I think that there's a tremendous opportunity for us to use our breath for calming, because you can, you know, the way you breathe affects everything around you. If you could kind of imagine a balloon and two points drawn on it, and when you inflate that balloon, the points move apart, and when you deflate the balloon, they move together. So your entire body, all the pores in your body expand when you inhale and contract when you exhale. And so your whole body moves up and back and forth, back and forth. And you're pushing the space around your body out, compressing that body out as you exhale, as you inhale, and pulling it back when you inhale. So the space around your body is being affected by your breathing. Everything in that space is being affected by your breathing too. So your dogs are going to be affected by the expansion and contraction of your whole body. As you contract, if your hands are really tight, as we were saying, we mentioned earlier the little whorls in your fingers. I have to talk about that because I'm fixated on it. I'm writing a book right now, and this is the part that I'm talking about, and I just can't get out of the concept.
Well, bring it on. Slap You've got
these little these little whorls, these little patterns that are in our fingertips that give us our fingerprints. You know, when your fingerprint goes down, it's your perspiration is expressed through there, and when your hands are tight, then those little whorls tighten up, and there's like a tiny little difference of microns of variation, which, when it's projected out, can be, you know, like meters across, okay?
Yeah, as far as the difference. From an atom's perspective, that's a huge change, you know?
Sure, and, exactly. Yeah, and it's like, so there are a lot of different changes that happen with the amount of perspiration that your dogs feel in your body, and also the amount of perspiration that the dogs can smell. Now, there's a lot of chemistry that happens in our body so that dogs can actually, our bodies will excrete a certain chemical if we're afraid or if we're in pain or if we're well or if we're happy or if we're just all kinds of things, if we're hungry.
I never even thought about the fact that you smell, of course, you smell different when you're excreting, you know, liquids. You're talking about sweating. That's just a toxin release, and it's like tears are a toxin release. Well, I never even thought of that. Of course the dogs pick up on that.
Sure, and they pick up on the subtle qualities that within, it's just not just perspiration, but there is a type of perspiration. There are like characters to it. You know, this is going to be fear, you know, that you can smell something. You can smell fear. You can smell happiness. There's kind of a giddiness. You know, if someone's in love, you can smell that.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah, and it's neat. And the dogs can pick up on all of that stuff. And so it's just kind of, again, the way that you would control a dog's emotions in your space is to control your breathing and to make sure that you are calm and reflective and just kind of being holding, again, as you were saying, holding space, being a support system, being a facilitator, just being present and aware of what's happening in your body. Your awareness of your own presence is going to enhance the dog's awareness of their bodies because, again, they're respecting you. And when they become more aware of their body, then they can initiate or support a healing process.
Yeah, that's key. And, you know, I'm sitting here breathing, and I oftentimes actually, with my human clients too, I talk a lot about breath and different breathing exercises they can do to calm themselves. And I got this visual, as you were talking, of the body expanding and contracting and how waves in a pool, ripples expand out and contract. And I started thinking, and I've talked about this before, about how distortion in the body is more in the takes the shape of like a square wave, like sound. Distorted sound is actually a square wave, whereas beautiful, balanced, harmonious sound is a rounded wave, very, you know, rhythmic, rounded wave. So not only are you're expanding and contracting the space, and you are, with the rhythm of your breath, creating waves, which translate to more calm versus this distortion. And I'm thinking of distortion that comes in the form of your TV, your computer, talking, anger, I mean, anything, pollutants.
Sure, sure.
So, I mean,
yeah, straight,
wow.
Straight lines are unnatural. There are no actual straight lines in the world. Everything is curved,
right.
Everything's soft. So
to think of your body like curving when you're breathing, that's really helpful for me, to think of it as a wave, a rhythmic wave, and how important that is.
Yeah,
there are no straight lines.
Yeah,
wow.
Can I jump off on that for a second?
Yeah, totally.
Now, I teach a class in how to massage dogs in water. It's a massage in a swimming pool class.
Yeah, it's great. That's
one
great.
Of the workshops that I teach. And one of the things we do is we'll create a wave pattern. You'll stand, with your back to maybe 3 feet from the side of the pool. You create a wave pattern and observe how the wave moves back off to the side of the pool, hits the wave, and then the wave bounces back. And then you can ride that wave. You can kind of body surf that wave back toward into the dog. So we actually use the flow around us as part of the massage.
Cool. That's fabulous to me. I love to think of things as cyclical. And also, I want to get back to one other thing since we're skipping around now, the balloon analogy. And it's funny you mentioned that in breathing, because that's one of the ways I try to encourage people to get their breath in their diaphragm. For me, the phrase breathing in your belly, you hear in yoga and stuff, that's never really resonated with me. For one, the diaphragm's up higher to me than my belly. I know that the belly moves, but one way that was really helpful, a friend and yoga instructor told me, when you're blowing air into a balloon, it actually fills the balloon from the bottom up. So the air is expanding the bottom of the balloon up. And when I think so when I inhale, I think of it going to the base of my lungs and filling my lungs out. And it reminded me of that when you talked about the balloon.
Yeah, I'm visualizing one of those long balloons you use for making little dogs. They inflate from the bottom up. I'm thinking also, as part of my background is I'm a registered nurse, and the lower lobes of the lungs seldom get enough oxygen because we are shallow breathers. We breathe up in the top. And so when you do this belly breathing, you're really giving them a sense, an opportunity to cleanse themselves and to participate in the rest of the body, you know. And it's the lower lobes that are shoved down against the diaphragm. So that's the part the diaphragm is going to be pushing up against the bottom part of the lungs in order to facilitate breathing. So there's a lot of interesting dynamics happening inside the body.
Totally. And also, let's say, you know, people, if you guys start working on just breathing calmer and even deeper, as we're saying, working with your dog, I mean, your cells have memory. So you're going to be basically retraining your body how to breathe more efficiently and properly. And let's stay on my favorite anatomy topic. Let's go to the nursing background a minute. The lower lobes, the adrenal glands are right there underneath. And then you have the diaphragm that runs down the length of the spine. It runs down to T12, which is the end of the thoracic spine, right before your first lumbar. That's where the psoas muscle, it actually touches the diaphragm and branches down and hooks into the legs. Well, the psoas is the fight or flight muscle. It's the guy that's like, we're calm or we're not calm. It's the guy knots in your stomach, not knots in your stomach. So the breathing is super important. And to me, it's kind of like a chicken and the egg. You know, you can be nervous and that speeds up your breathing, or you can be speed up your breathing and that'll make you nervous. I mean, either way.
Right.
So, which to me is empowering, because we can affect our changes in our body, our dog's body, just by working on the different types of breathing. So what about different types of breathing? Are there any different breath, you know, like inhale for one, exhale for two, any little tips or
I used to teach that, but now I just want people to be comfortable. If they try to conform to my timing, then I feel like I'm putting him in some sort of a straitjacket that's not natural. So I just want them, I just ask them to breathe naturally, try to slow it down a little bit, pay attention to the fact that you are inhaling. You know, there is a great Tai Chi exercise that we can, I can verbalize for you.
Is it the breath of fire? I'm guessing.
I don't know.
I don't know if it's called in Tai Chi.
I don't know. I think that's Kundalini. But we're going to be...
Oh, yeah, it is. Never mind. That's a different show.
Yeah, that is a different show. All right, now this is the one where you would, if you're standing, you would stand with your feet shoulder-width apart, your toes facing forward, because if you do it with your toes facing backwards, you're going to be facing the other way. So toes facing forward, and your hands are just dangling naturally at your side. Your back is fairly is as straight as possible. And with an inhale, you gather the energy around your the upper part of your thighs.
Okay.
And with an exhale, you bring your hands, you cup your hands and bring them up to heart level. So they're right out in front of you. And then with an exhale, so that's inhale, exhale. Inhale, you open your arms wide to the side. So you're going to be kind of embrace, getting ready to embrace the entire universe.
Yes.
Exhale, bring your hands together.
Uh-huh.
Inhale, turn your palms to your chest and bring your hands in with an inhale.
Okay.
Turn your hands out, pushing out with your palms with your exhale.
Uh-huh.
All the way out. Inhale, drop your hands down to your side. And exhale, release the energy that you've been playing with out your fingertips. Do this.
Ooh, I love that one.
Three or four times.
You're inhaling and scooping energy up from the earth, pulling it up to your heart, exhaling and pushing it down back to the earth or away from you, out into space, and then inhaling, pulling some more back in, and then back down to the earth. Ooh, I love that one.
It's great. In fact, it covers all the different directions, and it's a great technique. And also, it gets you involved with incorporating all of the energy around your body, because you're not just breathing inside your body, you're breathing with the space around you. And where this works with massage is like the dog is part of that space. And so as you, if you can continue this kind of like calm, methodical, kind of aware breathing
rhythmic,
while you're working with the dog, it really helps the dog to become aware of their own body and continue the whole relaxation process.
And, you know, that's so true that you keep saying, and I keep loving to hear, helping a dog be aware of his own body. Oftentimes, I go to work on a dog that's super hyper, and when I am doing Reiki and in my calm, not athletic mode, I am doing the same thing you're saying. I'm holding and I'm breathing in a very calm, but almost in a, what's the word I'm looking for? In a, not exaggerated, but I'm trying to show the dog what I'm doing. So I'm trying to show that dog that I'm breathing calm. And they really do, they do soften, because remember, we don't end where our skin ends. I mean, we carry on out. We are just movement. And what is the byproduct of cellular movement? Waves of energy. So
hopefully
we have that, or we're not healthy. We're not even alive. In fact,
and on the other, you know, there's another side of that coin. If you hold a quarter up and you look at the hold the quarter up in front of you, you can see the head on one side, but on the other side, there's also the other side. Is that when the dog is nervous, we're going to pick up on that, and we're going to kind of interpret that through our entire life history, through all of our memories, and the space you hold for the dog is just kind of filled with it may be. Stillness, but it's filled with all kind of little unfinished thoughts and memories and perceptions and relationships that are still kind of like hanging out in your mind. So it kind of makes up our personality and the whole matrix that we're working in and that the dog is entering. So when I bring, you know, I massage dogs on tables. I have a massage table for dogs. So what I bring to the table is my stuff. The dog comes to the table with her stuff. The two of us have a relationship where we mix our stuffs together. It sounds like a George Carlin routine, where I put my stuff.
I love that routine.
And so, like, you know, and we mix it up for a half hour or so, and then we move our separate ways. Each one of us slightly changed. We each with a little course correction. And then we, you know, perhaps we'll meet a second time or third time or fourth time. And each time is going to be slightly different, but it's going to be based on the memories and the comfort levels associated with the time before.
And it seems, that's beautiful thought. That is that we all change. You know, touch is such a powerful thing. And just that, you know, intimacy without what's so hard in our culture, without sexuality, it's so important to get that as from any person you can feel comfortable getting that from, dog, animal, the intimacy and touch is so.
I don't do the sexual thing with dogs. I draw a line somewhere. And that's in the sand. That's
I said without sexuality. I said without. That's funny. No, but yeah. That is beautiful. That's so beautiful to think that, you know, we are just kind of, our energies are meshing and we're saying, oh, I can learn this from you. I'm getting that from you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We go our separate ways. That's, I love that. I love that thought. And, you know, we are, like I said, we don't end where our skin ends. And that's why it's so important, I think, to just pay attention and know that as a human, we are affected by things we cannot see. So just being gentle with ourselves when we don't understand maybe why we're stressed or not feeling like ourselves. It could just be the environment or stuff you've picked up. And with one last thing, let's end because unfortunately we're out of time. We could talk forever, but I want to go back to end on the expansion of the fingertips and knowing and just this interchange with the animal in you. And I'm thinking, you know, as we're expanding our space and contracting and making it more rhythmic, it's actually has smoother edges and it's easier to transmit and have like a dialogue if there is this expanded, rhythmic, soft, curvy space that the air is affected.
You are so right. You know, there is a wonderful book by Turd Rugas. Are you familiar with it? It's called Calming Signals for Dogs.
Totally. In fact, we talked about her on my last show. I love her.
Okay. One of the things that she talks about and one of the things that I teach in our Pet Massage for Kids courses is that when, and you touched on a little bit about how wrong it is to walk in straight lines or to, you know, how that affects us energetically. Is that she talks that when one dog wants to approach another one in a gentle and loving fashion, it walks in the shape of a curve.
Yeah.
So it's that,
isn't that
same
cool?
Kind of curving passage. I see there's a path running from my back door out to the garage in my backyard, and I've got happy dogs, and so that path is a gentle curve off to the side. That's... It could be gone in one straight line. But no, the dogs just want to kind of angle around and just kind of like, you know, careen around the backyard.
So, wow, yeah, that's I have the same path in my backyard. And you know what? It's curved now that you mention it. Wow.
Yeah.
That's really blown my mind to think about that. You know, because how people approach dogs and how we are the ones with like that need these social training compared to them. They're like, what? I mean, normally a person will walk up to a straight dog, straight at them, stick their hand in their face and pat them on the head. And it's like, what? That's wrong on so many levels.
Exactly.
No wonder
right.
The dog's like recoiling, you know, as we talked in my last show, you're supposed to, well, not supposed to, but it would be more polite to not go patting him on the head, you know, a chest or a flank pet is much less obtrusive than one on top of the head. And then to add to that, making a curved approach, not such a direct beeline aggressive, I'm coming right at you approach.
Yeah, the curved approach is so important. In fact, we even have like a little exercise or a drill that the Girl Scouts use in practicing. I say, okay, I'm going to be the teacher, and I called you up to my desk. How are you going to approach? And if you're going to approach me in a straight line, or if you approach in a curved line, I'm going to be more willing to listen to your side of the story.
Of course, yeah. I mean, I can see that right now.
Yeah, and the teachers, of course, may not understand that level of the body language, but if the kids do, then they have one more tool in their little toolbox to be able to handle the situation. Otherwise,
totally.
It would be just terrifying. This way, at least you have something that you can do to kind of mollify the situation.
Yeah, exactly. And like you're saying, even if the teacher doesn't get it, you know what? Subconsciously, energetically,
exactly
they are.
Right.
They are aware. I mean, we communicate, they say, up to 93% of human communications nonverbal.
That's right.
You know, it's like, what? How much do we pay attention? Not very much, unfortunately. But
you have to do the semicolon parentheses at the end of a sentence online. You've got to put a little wink in there because that's our body language.
Exactly. You're so right. And I, no wonder when I turned my book in, not much of the text was changed, but boy, they sure circled lots of exclamation points in there. It was like I was emphatically trying to get my point across.
All in caps.
All in caps. Jonathan, thank you so much for talking with us today, or with me today, and the breath. I mean, I'd love to have you back on again. And, you know, we didn't talk about the labyrinth. You're talking about curves, and we could have gone right into talking about the labyrinth, which, gosh, for all you listening out there, the labyrinth is, you know, a maze that you walk, and a human, it's like a meditative, you breathe, and it just helps calm your mind. Well, Jonathan's actually doing a doggy labyrinth, which I find that incredibly fascinating. So I'd like to just talk about that one. Tell me a little tiny bit about it. Is it
a little bit about it? I just had an interview last week. I believe there's going to be an article on the Labyrinth Society magazine online.
Okay.
Coming up in the next week or so. Uh-huh. And it talks about, we created a double dog labyrinth. And it's kind of, if you could visualize two drops hitting water at the same time in the circles, expanding out and kind of interlacing with each other.
Uh-huh.
We took that concept and created a drawing of it. So we have a large labyrinth painted on the floor of part of our classroom, and it is based on that concept, and it kind of resembles a dog bone.
Oh, how perfect!
People would walk through this labyrinth, and either making turns to the left or to the right, and accessing different memory patterns in their bodies. And so, you know, people can walk by themselves, or they can use it for increasing flexion and extension and kind of, again, body awareness and bonding with their animals as they walk through. So
that's so
we're,
cool.
We're excited about that. Yeah, I'm very excited.
That sounds great. Well, great. Thanks. And so all of you out there listening, this is just the labyrinth and breathing and meditating and exercise and eating right. These are all ways and methods, tools for our tool belt to get peace, achieve peace in this life, and just sustain kind of a sense of calm in our lives, which we all are looking for. And it's, hey, drug-free, no side effects, except positive ones, let me reiterate. So anyway.
So let's all join hands and sing Kumbaya.
Now you're getting to my kind of show. We aren't going to get that corny, but I could easily go there. Jonathan, it's been great talking with you. Tell Jacques Poodle Doo and Lola Brigida, your beautiful boxer, and your wife, hello for me. And I would love to chat with you again. I just want to thank you for all your insight on this awesomely fascinating topic of breath. I appreciate
it. My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Okay, well, don't go away, guys. Or actually, we do have to go away, but we'll be back next week with another exciting episode of Win with Dogs. Hey, go breathe. Count 1, 2, 3. Inhale, exhale, and win with dogs.
Exercise, nutrition, interaction, and love make for one healthy, happy hound. Give yourself the gift of knowledge on demand every week right here at Pet Life Radio with me, Raquel Wynn, and Win with Dogs.